Since 1968, the Lads to Leaders program has been educating and training families to be servant leaders. Their model is to use mentors and role models to provide the direction and affirmation as the students receive instruction and encouragement for doing good. This calls to mind a time in the history of the nation of Israel in which they needed leaders. It was at a pivotal point in Israel's national history when 12 leaders, as a matter of fact, were selected for a very important mission. You find it in Numbers chapter 13. 10 of the leaders led the people from fear. 2 of the leaders led from faith. Fears of great size can keep even leaders from doing with confidence what God has equipped them to do. God led Israel out of Egypt with His power, His great power, and His mighty hand. God provided dry ground for them to cross the Red Sea. He gave them the law, and when they fell in disobedience with worshiping the golden calf, God restored them to Himself. God instructed them then to build a tabernacle, a place where He would dwell with them. God gave them a priesthood and orders of cleanliness. Then during a period of unrest, complaints, and conquest, the Israelites complained. They complained about some adversity in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The foreigners who were traveling with them joined in and complained about the food options. So God provided quail along with some punishment for their complaining. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 9. Moses then complained. He complained about the burden of leading such a rebellious people as these and told God that it was too heavy for him to do. Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 15. God's solution was to provide 70 men. 70 men were appointed to help Moses lead the people. Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 through 25. Then we come across that occasion where Miriam and Aaron murmured against Moses. There in Numbers chapter 12, we find that God sternly rebuked them and punished Miriam with leprosy. The story quickly unfolds to show that when the Israelites obeyed God's instructions, life was well for them. If they complained, rebelled, and disobeyed God's instructions, strong consequences came to pass. The very last verse of Numbers chapter 12 reveals that after Miriam was received back into the camp from her leprosy, the Israelites moved into the wilderness of Paran and camped there. While they camped in Paran, God instructed Moses to gather these men, these 12 leaders, who would go spy out the land of Canaan, the land He had promised to them. That's where we pick up with in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The call for leaders began with instructions for Moses. Send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan. You shall send men from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them. God also reminded Moses in his instructions that this was the land which I am going, God said, to give to the sons of Israel. Recalling then the Lord's instructions along the journey from Egypt even now to Paran, Moses sent the men from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord. If you look back at Numbers chapter 9, verses 17 through 19, Moses recorded that whenever the cloud was lifted from the tent or the tabernacle, afterwards, the sons of Israel would then set out, and in the place where the clouds settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. Then here's our phrase. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the clouds settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. camped, even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days. The sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. In summation of the text, in Numbers chapter 9 and verse 23, Moses said, "At the command of the Lord they camped, and at the command of the Lord they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses." Obedience to that idea of at the command of the Lord resulted in God going with Israel, protecting them, providing for them, and even dwelling with them. As Moses sent out these men at the command of the Lord, it should have brought the 12 spies confidence that God was with them, that God was going to provide for them, that God would protect them, and God would bring them back. Possession and prosperity in the land would be highly dependent, though, upon the Israelites' faithfulness. Before sending the men out to spy out the land, Moses gave them some traveling instructions and review instructions, or instructions of what they should include in their report. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, "Go up there into the Negev, then go up to the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruits of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. The spies were to go up by way of the Negev, the south lands, and travel then up into the hill country, an area characterized by hills and mountains. Moses instructed the men then to search out the land. "Examine the land and include in your report whether the land is good or bad, whether the land is fat or lean, whether the land has trees or no trees. Also, search out the people. See if the people are strong or weak. See if the people are few in number or many in number." He also instructed them to search out the cities. See if they are open camps or if they are with fortification. The season for their trip was late summer or possibly early fall, as noted by the sentence, "Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." The men were to get to bring back with them some of the fruit of the land. So they went up and spied out the land, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 21. In the valley of Ishkol, a single cluster of the grapes was cut down. That single cluster was so grand that it was carried on a pole between two men. Along with these grapes, there were pomegranates and figs that were collected. The land was good. The land was productive. The fruit was bountiful and large. But would it be enough to win over the spies? When the spies returned to give their report, the spies began with a good report. Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 25, "When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" The language of the initial report is consistent with the instructions that God gave Moses and Moses subsequently gave to the spies, indicating initial faithfulness to their assigned task. But the first word of verse 28 changes everything in this account. Nevertheless, however, but or yet is the first word of verse 28 in most of our English Bibles. What follows then is a faithless report by the 10 spies. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. 10 of the spies began to grumble about the power of the people in the land. They noted the name Anak, which was associated with people of great size and military might who were famed and feared. 3 clans of the giants were identified in Numbers 13, verse 22. Some of the additional tribes were living throughout the country were also identified. The Amalekites were living in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites were abiding in the hill country, while the Canaanites were dwelling in the coastal plains and in the valleys. The spies reported that the cities were extremely well fortified and large and inhabited by strong people. Fear. Fear of great size caused 10 of the spies to give a bad report about the people and the cities of the land. The faithful servant Caleb spoke against the negative report before the grumbling assembly. Yet, with the same terms, the 10 spies negated Caleb's faithful report. Notice Numbers 13, beginning in verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Each of the 10 spies had his reason for giving this negative report that opposed the report given by Caleb. But the report they gave not only opposed Caleb's report, it opposed Moses, who gave them command at the command of the Lord to go. It was opposed to Aaron, who was a faithful servant of God, serving alongside of Moses. As we will see in just a moment, Joshua's voice rings in, and he sides with Caleb. So the 10 spies were opposed to Joshua as well. Most significantly, though, the 10 spies and their negative report opposed God. The faithless spies forsook God's promise to be with them, to give them decisive victories, and to give them an inheritance as the people of God. The Israelites joined then with the 10 spies, losing their perspective of the boundless possibilities that await God's faithful people. Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Caleb, as a spokesman for faith, spoke for Moses, Aaron, and Joshua as he led the people with a challenge. We should, Numbers 13, verse 30, we should by all means go up as the spies had done initially and take possession of the land God has promised, for we will surely overcome it by God's power. When the people were swayed by the negative report and responded with fear themselves, just as we have read in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4, the leadership of Israel responded with faith. The leaders of Israel, Moses and Aaron specifically, fell humbly before God and begged His mercy to be upon the people. Numbers 14, verse 5, and the verses 11 through 19. Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes in sorrow and challenged the people to focus on God's provision of the land. Notice their challenge, verses 6 through 8 of Numbers 14. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then we shall bring, He shall bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." Then Joshua and Caleb urged even the rebellious in Israel not to fear. Verse 9, he said, "Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Although the righteous leadership in Israel responded by leading with faith, the people chose to be led by fear. Notice verse 10. "But all the congregation said to stone them with stones." They surrendered. They surrendered to their lack of trust in God. They surrendered to delay, indecision, and disobedience. They surrendered themselves to cowardice and to exaggeration. They surrendered themselves to bad decision-making and pessimism. They surrendered themselves to a failure to prioritize faith, hope, and love. They surrendered themselves to the public opinion. They surrendered themselves to waiting for a better season of life. And they surrendered themselves to the weakness of human strength alone. Yet they were ready to take up stones and to stone the men that God had put in place to lead them. God intervened. God took care of His faithful leaders. Then Moses pleaded with God in Numbers chapter 14, verses 17 through 19 specifically. He said, "But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of Your loving kindness, just as You also have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." A call for leaders has been issued. The call charges each of us to search within ourselves, search out the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given us for a specific area of ministry, our personalities, our education and skills, even our life experiences, along with our passions. Everyone who answers the call is a leader, helping this congregation specifically to move into promised territory where successful growth will come spiritually and numerically. Some have fears. There are fewer mentors and role models than there are members. And God has called us to be leaders, leading each successive generation to the Lord and to faithful service to Him. We must defeat our fears of great size and lead with faith. Assurance triumphs over fears. Leaders are not born, rather they are developed. And when we learn to trust the Lord, we will overcome our fears. We will go and do at the command of the Lord. What rebellion keeps us from doing the Lord's will? What fears of great size do we need to conquer? Accept God's word and the divinely appointed leaders of this congregation. For God has had His hand in the selection of these leaders. Do not give in to a bad report of what our elders are trying to accomplish. Every member is called to search out. To search out what God has put within them. See that it is exceedingly good. And through God, success and blessings will come. And give a faithful report of what God has promised to the faithful. You see, the real call is for us to search out the land of harvest. God says that the land of harvest is white. It is white for harvest. John 4, verse 35. That harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Luke 10, verse 2. God says that when the rain comes down from heaven, it is to produce food for people's bodies. His word comes down from heaven to produce food for people's souls. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Our task is to sow the seed. Matthew chapter 13. Yet fear will keep us from obeying. The same fear that caused 10 spies to give a negative report. Do we believe that God will reward those who seek Him? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 reads, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him," speaking of God. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Would you repent? Turn away from sin and turn to God. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30 reveals that God is now declaring to all people everywhere that men should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Would you confess, publicly admit, declare belief, trust, and confidence in Jesus? What report would you give of Jesus? In Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus tells us that everyone who confesses Him before men, he will also confess before His Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Him before men, he will also deny before His Father who is in heaven. Would you be baptized at the command of the Lord? In the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." First, the Lord commanded His disciples, those who belonged to Him, to make disciples. Next, the Lord commanded that those disciples that were being made to be baptized. Then, the Lord commanded that baptized disciples be taught to observe all that He has commanded. At the command of the Lord, Moses obeyed God's instruction to choose 12 men and to send them out to spy out a land. The report came back, 10 led with fear, 2 led with faith. because of the negative report, the vast majority of the nation of Israel died out in the wilderness, never getting to enter the promised land. God has given us promised territory that when we go out and we sow the seed, we go out and do as He has instructed us, there will be a harvest. It's our task to sow the seed and to reap the harvest. We need to be behind our elders, encouraging them, because just as the story of the spies reveals, there will be a lot more naysayers who are going to have negative reports than those who are faithful and encourage, uphold, and strengthen. Today, the Lord invites you to come to Him at His command, to be obedient to His will, to be sent out into His vineyard so that many more souls may be saved. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you at this time, as together we stand and sing.